Chapter 5 Will Becomes Ill. After that day, things slowly began to get better. Will started to laugh more, usually at me. And one afternoon, he started to ask me questions about my life. "Tell me about yourself," he said. "What do you do when you're not watching films, Louisa?"
"I don't know," I said. "I go for a drink at the pub. I watch telly. I watch my boyfriend running."
"You watch him running," he said. "But what do you like to do? Where do you like to go?"
I tried to think. "I don't know. I read a bit. I like clothes. My family go on holiday to Wales sometimes."
"And what do you want from your life? Do you want to get married? Have children? Do you want to have a great job and travel the world?"
I was silent while I thought about this. I knew that he would not like my answer. "I don't know," I said finally. "I've never really thought about it."
In March, Will suddenly became ill. It started on a day with heavy snow. Will's father opened the door to the annex as I walked towards it.
"He's in bed," he said. "He's not feeling good. His mother is in London today."
"Where's Nathan?" I asked.
"He's not working this morning."
Then he moved past me and started walking towards the house, and I knew that he was happy to leave Will with me.
"You know what he needs," he called over his shoulder.
I made Will a drink and pushed open the door to his bedroom.
"Yes," a voice said quietly.
"Will, are you okay?" I said. "Do you need some pills?"
"Yes," he replied. "Strong ones.
For the pain." I went to the kitchen and got some pills and some water.
"Thank you," he said quietly after he swallowed them. And this worried me. Will did not usually thank me.
He closed his eyes, and I stood and watched him. His body lifted and fell under his t-shirt, and his mouth was open. The snow fell and fell. Nathan came at lunchtime and gave Will some antibiotics.
"Will's body can't work like ours," he explained. "If he gets an infection, his body gets really hot and it can't cool itself down. Can you find a wet towel? We need to cool him down."
Nathan took off Will's clothes and put a sheet over him. I was surprised to see long red lines from cuts on Will's arms. But I did not say anything, and Nathan did not say anything either. It took 40 minutes for Will's body to cool. Then Nathan showed me how to change Will's bag when he needed the toilet, and how to change the dressing on his tube.
"Because you may have to do it later," he explained.
After Nathan left, I stayed in Will's room. I sat in a chair and read a book of short stories. It was warm and silent in the annex, and outside the world was white and beautiful. At 5 p.m.,
I got a text message from Mrs. Trainer. There are no trains because of the snow, so I can't get home. Will's father is also in London. Could you stay the night? Nathan can't stay.
I did not have to think about it.
No problem, I wrote back. Then I called my parents and Patrick to tell them. Will slept while I cooked myself some dinner, and then I took in a drink to him. His body was still quite warm, but he looked much better. I lifted him across to the other side of the bed.
Why aren't you at home? He said.
It's okay. I'm staying, I said. It was dark outside now. I sat next to him on the bed. He turned his face towards me.
Talk to me, Clark. Where did the crazy clothes thing come from? He asked tiredly.
I smiled down at my pink jeans.
I've always loved bright colours.
When I was a child, I had a pair of black and yellow tights. I never took them off. Then Mum threw them away, and I cried for days.
Why did she do that? He asked.
Because they were old and had lots of holes in them, I replied. But I loved those tights more than anything. We talked a bit more about my love of clothes, and then Will went to sleep. I changed the sheet on top of him to keep him cool, and then sat back down next to him, and soon I slept too.
Winter slowly changed into spring, and in April, warmer weather came. One morning, I was shaving Will for the first time and was planning to cut his hair, when a young woman suddenly came running in and started shouting at him. Then Mrs. Trainer came in behind her and cried, "Georgina, please don't shout."
"How could you try to do it, Will?" the young woman cried. "Why did you do that?"
Then Mrs. Trainer turned to me.
"Please leave us and go for your lunch, Louisa."
I quickly went out and walked around the streets for half an hour. I knew that Georgina was Will's sister, but she lived in Australia. Why was she back? When I came back, the annex door was open. I stopped and listened.
"Isn't there anything that they can do?"
Georgina was asking.
"Look," Mrs. Trainer replied, "we didn't want to tell you, but Daddy found him in January. He tried to kill himself."
When I heard this, I thought of the red lines on his arms, and my body went cold.
"He promised me 6 months, Georgina," Mrs. Trainer continued. "I have to try to change his mind before August, or he will go to Switzerland, to Dignitas, in Zurich."
"And the girl?" asked Georgina.
"Louisa is here to stop him from trying to kill himself again," replied Mrs. Trainer.